So that's the sort of situation that I envisage in the next two lines of the poem. Hmm? The scholarly, abstract books haven't answered our question. They haven't told us what Buddhism really is. So we throw them aside. We get rid of them. Or we don't come to the Pali class anymore. Hmm? We may even want to burn those books. I was going to say those Pali grammar books, but I don't think those poor people even got so far as to look into a Pali grammar book. Most of them couldn't read anyway. Yeah? So we feel more and more frustrated if we're in that sort of situation, until we wish, in all sincerity, a second burning of the books could be. Yeah? That's putting it rather strongly, of course, but it is, after all, a poem. It's not prose. Yeah? But if we're deeply disappointed, we do feel strongly. I forget which particular burning of the books I had in mind when I wrote this particular poem. It may have been the burning of the books which took place in China, 213 before the Common Era, under Shi Huang Ti. Or it may have been that which took place in India in 1197 of the Common Era, when the Turkish Muslim invaders sacked the great monastic university of Nalanda Mahavihara, that great library, with all its treasures of Buddhist literature, sutras and shastras and other works, in palm leaf manuscript form, is said to have burned for 6 whole months. There must have been hundreds of thousands of valuable works consumed. So for the purpose of the poem, it doesn't really matter which particular burning of the books I had in mind. And in any case, nowadays we're faced by a rather different problem. Nowadays we're not frustrated because we get stone instead of bread. Nowadays we get too much bread. That is to say, there are too many good books on Buddhism available. Books that we would like to read. Maybe quite scholarly, but based on a certain amount of spiritual experience. Also, there are really too many reliable translations, too many in the sense that there are more of them than we really have time to read. So let me make just a few suggestions, as I'm sure quite a few of you must find yourselves nowadays in this sort of position. So first suggestion, read, if you possibly can, books written by Buddhists. Books in which scholarship is subordinated to understanding and practice and experience of the Dharma. Second suggestion, read books that concentrate on the basic Buddhist teachings, on the Four Noble Truths, on the Noble Eightfold Path, on conditioned co-production, on the Bodhisattva ideal, the Bodhisattva path, and so on. Don't bother with material dealing with obscure, peripheral schools and teachings. Third suggestion, read the Buddhist scriptures. One gets the impression that some Buddhists, not necessarily within the FWBO, read almost anything except the Buddhist scriptures. So read the Pali canonical texts. Read the Digha Nikaya, the Majjhima Nikaya, the Dhammapada, the Sutta Nipata, the Udana, and read the great Mahayana sutras. The Pali text will give you a vivid idea of the actual life of the Buddha, give you a vivid idea of the Buddha as a historical person, a historical personality living in India about 500 before the Common Era. Give you an idea of the kind of conditions under which he lived and worked and taught and associated with his disciples. The Mahayana Sutras, some of them at least, will give you an impression, a very vivid impression very often, of the grand, as it were, archetypal background of Buddhism. The Mahayana Sutras are full of inspiring archetypal imagery. They transport one, so to speak, to other worlds. worlds full of light and colour and music and beauty, far transcending the world in which we live, but of which nonetheless our world at its best, in the person of some human individuals, can be at least a distant reflection. So we shouldn't even just read the scriptures by ourselves or to ourselves. We should sometimes at least read them aloud. Read them perhaps in a ritual context, so that the reading of the scriptures becomes a definite spiritual exercise in itself. And then, fourth suggestion, select, even specialize. I think this is particularly important, especially from the practical point of view. Some of us read far too much, which sometimes means we read hastily and superficially. And when I say some of us read far too much, I'm afraid I have to include myself in this category. But fortunately, some years ago, I had a lucky escape, because I spent 12 whole years in Kalimpong, and I didn't have access to many books, including books on Buddhism. For one thing, I didn't have the money to buy them. If I spent 2 rupees on a book, well, that was quite a big item of expenditure. And of course, in the area in which I lived, there was no public library. But somehow I managed to collect, I managed to put together, I managed to build up a small collection of books, mainly on Buddhism, perhaps 100 volumes. And those 100 volumes are the nucleus of the present Order Library. Most of these 100 volumes I read again and again. I got to know them thoroughly, both books about Buddhism and translations of the Buddhist scriptures. And this is what I suggest you try to do. Build up a small collection of Buddhist literature of your own. It doesn't have to be 100 volumes. It need be only 10 or 12. But whatever the number, get to know them thoroughly. Read them again and again. Discuss them with your friends. Don't always go running after something new, the latest publication or the latest theories about Buddhism. So these are my suggestions to you.